For the opportunity to give you an update and then to speak to you once again from God's Word. Since we've been with you all, we have traveled quite a bit over the last couple of months, and God has given us great traveling mercies. I'm not sure if Pastor mentioned this when he presented to you all, but we are now fully supported. You all pushed us to that point, so we're very excited about that. And the opportunity allows us to now get ready for departure to Japan. As we look forward to the next couple of months, we will be traveling, finishing up some meetings we had already scheduled over the next month. And then during the month of April, we're going to be working on packing all of our belongings and the visa process. A lot of paperwork that goes into that, some visits to the consulate. So a lot of logistics. We appreciate your prayers in that endeavor. It is fairly easy to get our visas to Japan because of our mission. But there is still some logistics involved in that. And in fact, the man in our mission who does that process for us has cancer right now and recently had a heart attack. So we are praying for him. And it's given a little bit of uncertainty into our visa process. So we appreciate your prayers on our behalf for that. And then in May and June, we'll be attending some training. And then as Pastor mentioned, we are praying and expecting to be headed to the mission field at the end of July. And so July 23rd is the date we've kind of picked at this point. And if everything with the visas, the Lord allows it all to come together, we'll be flying out, Lord willing, July 23rd to head to the Tokyo area and where we'll be ministering there. And very excited, just even thinking today, the wonderful opportunity we have to go to a country like Japan and give the gospel to people for the first time, people who do not understand, have no knowledge of it. And just what a wonderful privilege and really what a wonderful opportunity that is when we get the chance to do that. I don't think there's anything like it to be able to give someone the gospel for the first time. And then as the Spirit works and to see their eyes open and responding to the gospel, it says in the scriptures that the angels rejoice when one comes. So I don't think there's any event more important here on this earth than that event when it occurs. And so we're excited to be able to be involved in ministry in Japan. And so as you think of us, remember to pray for our visa process. And then as we head to Japan, some of the logistics of where we're going to land. And we're excited about that process. We would love to talk with you. We're going to stay for the fellowship dinner. So love to talk with you, especially if you have interest in Japan. You'd like to visit us, or we're always trying to recruit more missionaries to Japan. It's a very needy field. When we were with you all, we mentioned it's the second largest of the unreached people groups, the Japanese people are. And so there's opportunity for more people to come minister, and we'd love to talk with you about that. This morning, I'm going to preach on something that maybe a missionary wouldn't normally preach on, a passage they wouldn't normally preach on, but it's one that we've found as we've traveled is a particularly helpful passage to preach on. And for this reason, as we travel, we meet people who say that they are interested in missions. Maybe they would like to do missions. Maybe they felt God's call on their life to missions. And we always rejoice when we meet people like that, that God's working in. But unfortunately, frequently we hear a next phrase or word that comes, but, they say, but. And then we know what's going to happen after that. And that is that there's going to be something that they're going to tell us that's preventing them from doing what we believe the Lord is calling them to do, or what they believe the Lord might be calling them to do. And often that next phrase is something in their life, a fear they have, maybe a worry, maybe a concern, maybe something they don't think that they can overcome. And so we've heard it like this: I would love to be a missionary, but I don't know if I could do deputation. All right, they're afraid of deputation and what that means. Or I'd love to be a missionary, but I don't know if I could live in whatever field they're talking about because of the conditions. And so they're allowing their fear, their anxiety, and their worry to prevent them from serving the Lord, from doing what they know they should be doing. But we find in our own lives and in the lives of those we fellowship with, it's not just missionaries that struggle with that, right? We all struggle with fears and anxieties, whether it's related to ministry opportunities or just related to life experiences. And we've found that fear and anxiety, not handled properly, can be a tool that the devil uses to prevent us from serving God. It really immobilizes us. It prevents us from doing what God has called us to do. So today, in this message, a little different, I'd like to look at what the Bible tells us to do in that situation. How are we supposed to deal with those fears, those anxieties, and those worries in our lives so that we can move on in obedience to God? And so I would like you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. This is not going to be a new verse for many of you. It's one that we all know and probably hold dear. 1 Peter 5, 7, but I'd like to look at it and really bring it to apply to ministry opportunities, to what God is calling us to do in our obedience and service to Him. 1 Peter 5, 7, and in the book of 1 Peter, we find that the believers there are experiencing some probably persecution because Peter addresses them suffering for Christ's sake in the book. And so as he closes out this book, we run across 1 Peter 5, 7. I'm actually going to read verse 6 because 6 and 7 are tied together, but we're going to focus on verse 7 today. And so 1 Peter 5, beginning of verse 6, says this: "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And as we think of that verse, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, there are really three kind of key words that I'd like to highlight this morning and use them to kind of look at, as we face fears, anxieties, and worries, what we're supposed to do and what God has told us he will do in that process. And so the three words we're going to look at are casting. That's a pretty important word. We're going to want to know what we're supposed to be doing with these cares. What does it mean to cast our care, right? And then the second word I'd like to focus on is care. Now, you're probably thinking, why do we need to focus on care? I know what a care is, right? I know what care means. But I'd like to flesh it out a little bit more and give some practical feet to what that word means as we think about what we're supposed to be doing with our cares. And then the third word is careth. And this is God in that process. And so we're going to take a look and see what that word means as well. And so the first word I'd like to do is actually look at that second word to kind of address what it is we're talking about today. And that is the word care. All right, in this verse, it's talking about cares. And cares, if you look at the underlying word here, are really worries or anxiety. It's something in our life that has caused a feeling of concern. Now, I would guess, if I were to go to all of you today, whether large or small, we all have things in our lives that are causing a little bit of concern, right? We all have maybe some worries, some anxieties, some fears that we're addressing. And the reality is we live in a fallen world, and so we face unknown circumstances. We face the effects of sin. We face change in our lives. We face difficulties. And when we encounter these, they are all opportunities for us to feel this worry, this anxiety, this fear, and this concern. And I think this passage would tell us that those are normal emotions that arise out of these circumstances. But it's what we do with that care that we're going to look at today. But in fact, this verse, 1 Peter 5, 7, is a quote. So Peter is actually quoting elsewhere in Scripture here. And he is quoting out of Psalm 55. And so I want to read to you kind of a paraphrase, what we would say that the psalmist in that verse, how he is describing his worry, his concern, and his anxieties, and see if these resonate in your hearts with things that you have encountered or are currently encountering. And he's describing his emotional state. "I am so upset and distressed, I am beside myself. My heart beats violently. Fear and panic overpower me. Terror overwhelms me. I will lament and moan." And chances are, if you have lived any period of time on this earth, you've experienced moments in your life when those things describe your current circumstance, or maybe you are encountering something like that right now. And I know in my own life, when I encounter these things, they really take precedence and dominance in my thinking in pretty much all of life. It tends to dominate what we're thinking about, what we're doing, and really it prevents us, as I mentioned, from serving the Lord when we're in these situations. So that's why we want to look at these today. So as I thought about this, I thought, those are great explanations of how we feel in these circumstances, but what would be a circumstance where we might be prone to worry or fear or anxiety. And I am a type of person who likes to plan in advance, and so I often think through possible outcomes. And so when you do that, oftentimes you think of worst-case scenarios. And so I just took a few moments to think in my life of situations where I faced worry, fear, and anxiety. And it's not an exhaustive list. I think if we were to take time to describe all of those situations this morning, we'd be here all day. But let me just read some of these and see if you've experienced some of these. All right, and some of them have greater levels of anxiety, some are lesser. But to each of us, as we encounter these, we experience these cares. So here are some examples. Will I get a job promotion? Will I be able to afford my health care premiums in 1 year, in 10 years? Will we experience another financial collapse, decimating my retirement account? What if I don't have a retirement account? Will war with North Korea break out? That's especially kind of a concern for someone going to Japan. Will we have another terrorist attack? Will my house ever be neat again? We're in the throes of child rearing right now, young children, so it's a concern. Why can't I find happiness? Will someone break into my home? Will someone steal my identity? Will I lose my job? Why do I feel so lonely? Will I get into a car accident? Will someone I love get into a car accident? Will my rent go up? Will my car make it another year? How can I afford college? Will I pass my quiz, test, or class for those of you in school? Will my child grow up to be normal? Will my relationship ever improve with my child, spouse, parent, or friend? Will I ever have a job I love? Will a bully at school pick on me today? Will I ever get fit? Will I ever fit in? And as you can see, I picked a range based on your age and your category. But all of those things are worries or concerns or anxieties that I've experienced at one point or another in my life. And that was just sitting down and thinking it through in a small list. And so chances are you have experienced one of these fears I just described. And since today I'm speaking on missions and gospel sharing, what are some worries that we might have in relationship to sharing the gospel that might prevent us from proclaiming the gospel? In a quick search, I found some of these things. Rejection. They might reject what I say. We all have the fear of man we deal with. Failure. He or she might not listen to me. Loss of a relationship. What if doing this costs me my friendship with a coworker, family member, or neighbor? Lack of knowledge. He or she might ask me a question I can't understand or answer. Fear of confrontation. Will they be upset with me? Loss of status. They might think less of me. And so the scripture this morning is telling us that the reality is we all have fears. There's worries and anxieties we encounter in life. But then it goes on to give us an even greater reality. And that is that we have a God who cares for us. And so I'd like to take a look. Let's remind ourselves of what this verse says. Casting all your care. We just talked about what a care is in your life. Upon him. And that's describing where we're putting those cares, those worries, those anxieties. And that's talking about God. So we're to cast all those cares upon him, for he, that is God, careth for you. So now I'd like to take a look and see what it means that God cares for us. I think we would all acknowledge that God cares for us, right? That's something we know because Scripture tells that to us. But I dare say there have been times in your life, because I know this, because it's often in the Psalms we find this, where we doubt God's care for our life. If you read through the Psalms, I'm reading through the Psalms right now in my yearly Bible reading, and the psalmist over and over asks God that question, you know, are you caring for me in the midst of my circumstances? And so from time to time, we question whether or not God cares for us. But this verse, and this tells us he does, and this word here is a unique word. And when we think of care, somebody caring for us, often it's just a passing interest. For instance, we had a gentleman in our church. As we started the deputation process, we were Sunday school teachers. He was a fellow Sunday school teacher. He came down with cancer. And so we told him we would pray for him. And every time we're back in town, we try to ask him how he's doing. Thankfully, he's in remission now. But we would say we cared for him. You know, we asked, we inquired, we showed care and concern for him. And often when we think of care for somebody, that's kind of what our idea is about how we care or show concern for someone. But you know, God's care for us is so much deeper than that. Don't let that be your idea of what it means that God cares for you. You see, the word used here is one of constant action. It's not just a passing care or concern. It means that in every moment of every day, God is caring for you. Let me repeat that, because sometimes we doubt this, or we don't think about this, or we don't live in the light of this truth. Every moment of every day, God is caring for you. And that's what this word and this action means. And what does it mean when God cares for us? I already mentioned often for us, it's just a passing concern or saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. But when God cares for us, he not only thinks about us, he's thinking about us in such a way as to make an appropriate response. And so whenever we're encountering these difficulties, these unknown situations, and we're faced with worry, fear, and anxiety, we can be assured that God is caring for us. He understands and knows the situation we're in. And he is involved in such a way as to make an appropriate response. He is up to something in that situation in our lives. Now, when I think of a worry, fear, and anxiety in my life, and I think of an appropriate response, I think of it going away, right? That's the response I want in my life. Just have it go away, and then I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear or have anxiety. But as we read through Scripture, we discover that God's purpose for our life, including the providential situations he brings into our lives, is a little bit different. His goal for our lives is not for us to have a life of ease, a life of comfort, a life devoid of encountering situations like that. But as we look in Scripture, we realize that when God called us, when his Holy Spirit convicted us and we responded in faith and repentance, and he began a work in us that he continues to this day, his goal in that process, the Scripture tells us, is to make us more like his Son. Now let's think about Jesus' life. As Jesus faced his life, did he ever have situations that might cause worry, fear, or anxiety? Think of in the garden, right? As he was looking towards what he had come to accomplish on the cross, and it says he had sweat drops of blood. I can't think of a more anxious way of looking at that, but he handled that appropriately, and we're going to see how we handle that in just a second. And so we all have worries, fears, and anxieties in our lives that we encounter, and those are what we tend to focus on. But this verse also tells us and assures us that we have a God who cares for us in the midst of those circumstances. And he is thinking about us. He never forgets us. He's never unaware of what's going on in our lives. And in that process, he is up to something. All right, we are going to Japan. And in Japan, a lot of people are Buddhist. I don't know if you've studied much about Buddhism. But if you go back to the original tenets of Buddhism, their idea is that pain and suffering is an illusion. Those worries, those fears, those anxieties that we face in the midst of our difficult, painful, hurtful situations, that's all an illusion. And if you come to that realization and you deny the pain and suffering, then all of that fear and anxiety will go away. You know, I'm thankful that we have a God, that we serve the one true and living God, but we have a God who redeems those painful situations in our life, because he tells us that even evil, those difficult situations in our lives, he can turn them for our good. I'm thinking of Joseph, right? Somebody called by God to serve him, and he may not have even known or realized in the process that God was up to something until the very end, because that's when he gives that understanding to us. But he faced a lot of difficult circumstances and pain in his life. And yet God was at work in the midst of those situations, not only purifying and growing Joseph, but also up to something of greater good, the salvation of the entire nation of Israel. And so God, in the midst of those circumstances, is not only up to something in our life, but he wants to do something, I think, in the situation around us as well, because we are called to be salt and life here on this earth. And so God redeems those situations in our life. So we have cares, worries, and concerns, and we have a God who cares for us. Now, how do those two things interact, right? I think we would acknowledge both of those, but when we're in the midst of our worries, anxieties, and fears, how do we interact with a God who cares for us? How do we deal with those things biblically? And that's where our third word really comes in here in this verse. And that is the word casting. So the command we see here is to cast, but it's actually part of a greater command, because the command is actually found in verse 6, and then this is kind of tagged on to that command. And the command in verse 6 is to humble ourselves. And really, the ability to give God our worries, anxieties, and fears, to effectively cast those, can only come as we humble ourselves under God, and we humble ourselves to God. And let me give you an illustration, one that is often used of men, and one that I think we're all familiar with, and that is, you know, you're driving down the road, and let's say we were coming to Greeley today, and thankfully they have GPSs on your phone now, so you don't really have to know where you're going, you just follow the voice and you end up there. But let's say our phones died or something, and I'm on the road and we're driving, and we're on I-25, and we're going, and Emily says, "Hey, honey, you know, we don't have navigation. Don't you think you should maybe try to figure out where we're going? Maybe call pastor or pull over and stop at a gas station and get directions." I said, "You know, honey, I think I remember from the GPS. We just keep going on 25, and then I'm sure there'll be signs telling us where to go from there. And I think I can remember from when we were there before." So we're driving and we're driving, and maybe I get distracted on the side of the road and I miss that, you know, sign for Greeley 34. And so we keep driving. And suddenly we see a sign that says Wyoming, 20 miles, you know. And Emily says, "Hey, honey, do you think we should maybe pull over now?" And I say, "No, I've got this under control, honey, you know. Yeah, I remember they were close to Wyoming, so I just can't remember how close exactly. So let's just keep going, and I think we'll get there." And then we keep going, and 20 miles goes, and we enter Wyoming. And she says, "Honey, I think we're lost." And, you know, it's 9 o'clock, and pastor's starting to get a little nervous because the speaker's not showing up. And so finally I pull over and maybe stop at a gas station, because I don't want to ask the attendant. I go over to where the atlases are and try to figure out where we're at and get back on the road and end up here. What prevented me from seeking help in the midst of my circumstance and situation? It was my pride, right? Because as a man, I didn't want to admit I was wrong. I didn't want to admit I didn't know where I was going. I didn't want the humbling situation of pulling over and asking somebody for directions. And maybe, you know, we use that stereotype. Not all men are like this. But we use that as an illustration to show that when we have pride, we often don't seek help. And so God is telling us we have to have this humility to seek this help from Him, to cast our cares, our concerns, our worries, and anxieties upon Him. And so casting our cares, worries, and anxieties, what does that mean? What does that word mean? Because that's kind of an analogy, right? When we think of casting, we think of fishing. I grew up fishing a lot, and you know, you're casting. But what does that mean for us as believers? And really what it means is that we can give God responsibility for our worries. Now, when I say that, maybe we're thinking, "Oh, good, I don't have to do anything anymore about that situation." That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that we can continue to obey what God has called us to do despite the anxiety we're encountering, because we can give that fear, that worry, that anxiety to God and trust Him in the midst of that situation. And so casting means to cause responsibility for something to be put upon someone else. That's what the underlying word means here. So how do we cast our concerns and our cares to God? How do we do that? Well, there is a parallel passage in Philippians 4:6 that states this: be careful, and that's the exact same word we have here, the word for care. Be careful for nothing, but, and then he's going to describe how we can cast our cares on God. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so it is through prayer and supplication. What is a supplication? That's an urgent request. Those are the prayers you send up in the midst of panic, right? We're sliding on I-25 towards the ditch, and I'm praying to God that we're not going to end up in the ditch flipped over. And so it is in that way, through prayer and supplication, that we can cast our cares on God. And I think Philippians 4:6 gives us another component to this when it says, with thanksgiving, all right? And that's the attitude we're to have in the midst of circumstances where we're worried, we're fearful, and we have a lot of care. And I think the scriptures recognizes that those are the hardest times to be thankful, when you're in the midst of a difficult circumstance. And yet that's the attitude we are to have. Well, let's take a look and think about this idea of giving our worries, our concerns, our anxieties to God. So let's use an illustration. I was in software engineering in consulting while I was in grad school finishing up my seminary degree. And during that, we did a lot of projects with different universities across the nation. And I remember starting out In those projects, my boss would always show up to the meetings. We did virtual meetings, so he would always be on the phone as I worked my way with these universities through what I had done with the software or what they required of me to do through the software. And then one day, I got on the phone, and he didn't show up, which I think was a good thing. But let's assume that day I got on the phone, and I began to give my recommendations to this company. And about halfway through, my boss jumps on the line, and he starts interrupting me. And he sort of just takes over that presentation and begins interacting with the client and correcting me in front of the client. At the end of that phone call, right, we get off with the client, and my boss and I are talking together. And I go to him, and I'm going to be wondering, hey, you know, what was going on there? You know, why were you interjecting? Was I doing something wrong? Don't you know, trust me, right? Why didn't you trust me with that particular situation? And that's why, you know, we would think he would be interrupting me. You know, I think a lot of us are like a project manager like that, all right? We are willing to give God our worries, our fears, our anxieties. And in fact, this word casting is definitive. We give them to him and he's supposed to take over. But a lot of us would be like that boss, you know, checking up on God. Hey, let me worry a little bit more. Let me be anxious a little bit more about this situation in my life. How are you doing? What are you doing? What are you up to? Checking in on God and taking those cares, those worries, anxieties back on ourselves. And that's not what God would have us do. He would have us to give those to him. And certainly as those fears, those worries, those anxieties arise once again in our hearts, to continue to give those to him as that occurs. But not to take responsibility. Ooh, you know, I don't know that God's handling this, so maybe I need to worry a little bit more about this situation. And I think really our fishing idea gives us a little bit of a disservice with this casting command. Because when I think of fishing and casting, what do? All right, so you get out on the lake or maybe the stream and you throw out the line, right? And this may not apply to fly fishing, but it does to bobber fishing. You throw out the line and you let the bobber sit there. And a minute goes by and you're patient, and 2 minutes go by and you're patient, and 3 minutes go by, but nothing's happening. So about minute four, what happens? You reel it back in to make sure there's bait on the end of the line, right? And then you cast it back out, and you sit there a little bit longer, and then you reel it back in, and that process keeps going as the day goes on. And I think, once again, that's kind of the idea we have when we think of casting our worries and our fears and our anxieties to God. We kind of think like a fisherman. All right, I got this thing in my life. I'm going to give God my worries, my fears, my anxieties. I'm going to continue forward in obedience, but the situation's not changing. So maybe I better reel it back in, reanalyze it, maybe take some of those worries, those fears, those anxieties back on me. Maybe post it on Facebook for the younger generation. Maybe call my mom. Maybe call my girlfriend and hash it out with her. Complain a little bit. Gripe a little bit. And then, okay, I can give it back to God now that I've kind of got it off my chest. No, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. This casting has that idea of giving God responsibility for it and then moving forward. So when worry and fear overtakes us, and remember at the beginning I talked about how we want to deal with this biblically, like this passage says, so we can move forward in obedience to what God has called us to do, whether that's going to Japan as a missionary. I can tell you we've experienced those fears, those anxieties, as we've been along on this process, and we've had to remind ourselves of this first, or whether it's going next door to our neighbor and sharing the gospel with them. We want to be able to deal with those worries, those fears, anxieties biblically so we can move forward. So when worry or fear overtakes us, that is, we are consumed by it, there has been a breakdown somewhere in the above process, all right? First, obviously, if that has happened, we are aware of our worries, right? Some people, you think, you know, you're headed toward that ditch and you don't even know it, right? Maybe the first thing they need is to realize that they're in a wrong situation so that they can follow this biblical command. And then can we identify what is causing the fear or worry in our lives? That's the next step. Sometimes in our lives, we're anxious. And if a spouse or a parent asks us, what are you anxious about? We might say, I'm not sure. I don't know. And so we need to sit down and really think through what is causing this anxiety, worry, and fear in my life, and how can I talk to God about that? And we need to go back to the root problem and not merely the emotion, right? We can focus a lot on the anxiety, the worry, and the fear. And in fact, we have a whole society that does that. That's why there are psychologists everywhere. That's why there are psychotropic drugs that are very prevalent in our society, because people don't want to deal with the underlying problem. They just want to get rid of those worries, those fears, those anxieties. And God calls us to move forward in those situations in obedience, as well as handling those worries, fears, and anxieties. And second, do we really believe we have a God who cares, right? That was the second thing we focused on. And yes, we would acknowledge it, but some of us forget that in the midst of our worries and cares. If you cannot trust God with your cares, then I would say you don't know him well enough, all right? Because who we know well, we trust. I trust my wife for a lot of things that I didn't trust her for when we first met and were dating, because I know her a lot better. And I found her to be faithful and trustworthy. And so if you have difficulty trusting God with your cares, maybe it's time you get back into his word. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see lots of examples of people who faced these things in their lives. Think of Abraham. Go to a land, and I'll show you when you get there. How many of us would like to do that? And yet God came through for him, didn't he, as he obeyed him? And so go back to Scripture and learn about a God you can trust with your cares. Third, if you haven't been giving your worries and fears to God in prayer, humble yourself and admit to God you need help. Enlist others to pray for you and with you, and be humble enough to take that help. God talks about us sharing our burdens as a body of Christ, right? We believe that the church is the body of Christ. We're here for a purpose, and the church is here, and each of us are a part of that body. And the church, Pastor mentioned Wednesday night prayer meeting, right? The church is here Wednesday night to help us pray through some of those worries, fears, and anxieties in our lives, and to pray for obedience to do the work God has called us to do. So we've seen the biblical way to deal with with worry is to pass off our worries and fears to God, who constantly cares for us. And whenever we're faced with a new way of doing something, I think we all like to see a demonstration, don't we? I know I do. Whenever I'm faced with something that I've never done before, I like to go onto YouTube and watch somebody maybe a world away do it first so that I know how to do it. And so I'd like to take Scripture, and particularly the Old Testament, and I'm going to give you some life situations that individuals in the Old Testament faced, and then explain how they dealt with them. And I'm going to do it in modern terms, all right? So when we read the Old Testament, sometimes because they're in a culture separated from our own, in a time period separated from our own, we think that those illustrations don't maybe apply. There's not a direct correlation to our life. And so I like to use a general phrase to describe the situation that the individual was facing that we would face in a similar situation in our current time. And so how about this? A life-threatening situation. Have you ever faced a life-threatening situation? I told you about my friend back in Greenville who faced cancer. That's a life-threatening situation. And certainly there are many others. We have a fellow missionary in France whose child was in the ER this past week. Their lungs were closing up. They didn't know what was going on. It was a life-threatening situation. And certainly those can cause us to have cares, worries, concerns, and fears. And so who faced this? I'm sure there are many in the Old Testament. And what did they do? And I looked at specific examples where the person responded kind of with this casting. Here we have Elijah fleeing from Jezebel. And in 1 Kings 19:4, he kind of gives those concerns to God. Now, he does it in a very griping fashion, but he does cast his worries, his fears, and his anxieties to God. And we see God work in that situation. How about this one? A health crisis. I just described that. We've all faced health crisis, whether large or small. You know, Hezekiah was dying in the Old Testament, and he turned over and he prayed to God about that situation in 2 Kings 20, and it's also reported in Isaiah 27:14. And God intervened in that situation. How about a looming threat on the horizon, all right? Here's for you planners out there like me. We see a lot of those in our lives, don't we? Because we're trying to think through all the possibilities. So a looming threat on the horizon. Well, there was a literal looming threat on the horizon when Jehoshaphat had an army on his doorstep in 2 Chronicles 20. And he prayed about it, and God answered that prayer. And he gave his fears and his concerns. How about faced with a seemingly impossible or overwhelming work task? You ever had one of those? The boss gives you something, you have no idea how you're going to do it, if you're able to do it. Well, none of us have faced anything like Daniel faced, right? When he was given by his boss to interpret a dream, that he wasn't even given. And yet in Daniel 2, 17 through 18, we can see how he intercedes. He brings some friends along with him, and they intercede to God, and God works in that situation. How about facing intimidation? Maybe for some of you young people, you face intimidation at school. Maybe it's for some of us older people, we face intimidation. There's going to be some intimidation when we go to Japan, and we seek to go against the Shinto and Buddhist culture there. And we're going to face some intimidation, especially if God begins to work from those Buddhist and Shinto priests. But here we have Nehemiah. Remember the wall as he was doing God's work there. How many times was he sent letters to intimidate him? And yet each of those times he prays to God and he gives that to the Lord. How about a high-stakes business meeting? There's another situation where you might be caused to fear. How about Esther before King Ahasuerus, right? She could have lost her life in that business meeting, and yet she had people praying and fasting for her. Life threatened by an animal. We heard about the man here in town, or I guess just north or west of you all, who had the mountain lion attack him here recently, all right? There, from time to time, your life can be threatened by an animal. How about Jonah in the belly of the whale, right? He was already in the belly. In Jonah 2, and he prayed to God, and God delivered and worked in that situation. Facing great physical and emotional pain, we already mentioned this, Jesus in the garden, all right? He has gone through and walked what you've gone through, the Bible tells us. How about threats against preaching the gospel, all right, whether large or small? In Acts 4, the disciples are brought before the Sanhedrin, and they're told, stop this, or there are going to be consequences. And you can read the prayer right after that, what they prayed for and how they prayed and gave that to the Lord. Friends or family facing danger, we have Peter in prison in Acts 12 and elsewhere, but you can read that prayer that the church did. Wrongfully detained by authorities, or maybe wrongly accused by those in authority around us. In Acts 16:25, we have Paul and Silas in jail, and they're singing praises to God. They're thankful and praying to him. So we have many illustrations in Scripture of people doing this. If you want help to what an actual prayer would look like, that you would pray in the midst of these, remember I mentioned that this verse is a quote from Psalm 55. Go to Psalm 55 and see what the psalmist prays. I think you'll be surprised what his prayer looks like. And of course, he's casting his worries, his fears, and his anxieties to God. And so this morning, hopefully you knew this verse prior, but hopefully in a new way you can see that as you face worries, fears, and anxieties, you have a great God who cares for you. And he is up to something in the midst of that. He's not unaware, and he's not apart from you. He is there. And we have the wonderful opportunity to give him the responsibility for our worries, fears, and anxieties, and to move forward into obedience to what he has called us to do. And in that process, we get the opportunity to see him work and to redeem those difficult circumstances in our lives. And so if I were to challenge you this morning, if somebody is considering the mission field, but they're fearful, God will be there for you every step of the way. All right, you can do it as long as you rely on him and you follow this passage. If you're facing another worry, fear, and anxiety in your life, let me once again encourage you to go to God in prayer and to cast your cares, your worries, your concerns to him. He is a trustworthy God who can take responsibility for those. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for a morning that we can come.